I wonder if we could turn in our Bibles to the second book of Chronicles and to the chapter 24 this evening. Second Chronicles, chapter 24. And we're going to read from verse 1 of the chapter. Second Chronicles, chapter 24. And beginning our reading at the first verse of the chapter. 2 Chronicles 24, and beginning at verse 1. Joash was 7 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Sabiah of Beersheba. And Joash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest. And Jehoiada took for him 2 wives, and he begat sons and daughters. And it came to pass after this that Joash was minded to repair the house of the Lord. And he gathered together the priests and the Levites, and said to them, Go out unto the cities of Judah, and gather of all Israel money to repair the house of your God from year to year, and see that ye hasten the matter, howbeit the Levites hastened it not. The king called for Jehoiada the chief, and said unto him, Why hast thou not required of the Levites to bring in out of Judah and out of Jerusalem the collection according to the commandment of Moses, the servant of the Lord, and of the congregation of Israel, for the tabernacle of witness? For the sons of Athaliah, that wicked woman, have broken up the house of God, and also all the dedicated things of the house of the Lord that they bestow upon Balaam. And the king's commandment, they made a chest and set it without at the gate of the house of the Lord. And they made a proclamation through Judah and Jerusalem to bring in to the Lord the collection that Moses, the servant of God, laid upon Israel in the wilderness. And all the princes and all the people rejoiced, and brought in and cast into the chest until they had made an end. And it came to pass that at what time the chest was brought unto the king's office by the hand of the Levites, and when they saw that there was much money, the king's scribe and the high priest's officer came and emptied the chest, and took it and carried it to his place again. Thus they did day by day, and gathered money in abundance. The king and Jehoiada gave it to such as did the work of the service of the house of the Lord, and hired masons and carpenters to repair the house of the Lord, and also such as wrought in iron and brass to mend the house of the Lord. So the workmen wrought, and the work was perfected by them, and they set the house of God in a state and strengthened it. And when they had finished it, they brought the rest of the money before the king and Jehoiada, whereof were made vessels for the house of the Lord, even vessels to minister and to offer withal, and spoons and vessels of gold and silver, and they offered burnt offerings in the house of the Lord continually all the days of Jehoiada. But Jehoiada waxed old and was full of days when he died. 130 years old was he when he died. And they buried him in the city of David among the kings, because he had done good in Israel, both toward God and toward his house. Now after the death of Jehoiada came the princes of Judah and made obeisance to the king. Then the king hearkened unto them, and they left the house of the Lord God of their fathers, and served groves and idols, and wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem for this their trespass. Yet he sent prophets to them to bring them again unto the Lord, and they testified against them, but they would not give ear. And the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada, the priest, which stood above the people, and said unto them, Thus saith God, Why transgress ye the commandments of the Lord, that ye cannot prosper? Because ye have forsaken the Lord, he hath also forsaken you. And they conspired against him, and stoned him with stones, at the commandment of the king, in the court of the house of the Lord. Thus Joash the king remembered not the kindness which Jehoiada his father had done to him, but slew his son. And when he died, he said, "The Lord look upon it and require it." And it came to pass at the end of the year that the host of Syria came up against them, and they came to Judah and Jerusalem and destroyed all the princes of the people from among the people, and sent all the spoil of them unto the king of Damascus. For the army of the Syrians came with a small company of men, and the Lord delivered a very great host into their hand, because they had forsaken the Lord God of their fathers. So they executed judgment against Joash. And when they were departed from him, for they left him in great diseases, his own servants conspired against him for the blood of the sons of Jehoiada the priest, and slew him on his bed. And he died, and they buried him in the city of David, but they buried him not in the sepulchres of the kings. And these are they that conspired against him: Zabad the son of Shimeth, an Ammonites, and Jehozabad the son of Shimrith, a Moabites. Now concerning his sons, and the greatness of the burdens laid upon him, and the repairing of the house of God, behold, they are written in the story of the book of the kings. And Amaziah his son reigned in his stead. Amen. And we know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word to our hearts for his name's sake. Let's just stand, please, for a moment's prayer and ask the Lord to meet with us afresh. Our loving God and our gracious Father, we come to thee at the end of our meeting. Again, we thank thee for the word of God to our hearts. We think of this man and how at the end of a year he was brought face to face with the consequences of his sin. And we pray, Lord, that even as we come to the end of the year, that we might bring ourselves to thy feet. We thank that there's forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. So, Lord, bless and be with us. And we pray that thy word might be written upon our hearts. For it is in Jesus' precious name that we ask these things. Amen. Amen. Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, had been a pretty good king, but he made a big mistake at the end of his reign, and that is that he made a faint affinity with wicked Ahab. And you remember how that the notorious husband of Jezebel was brought into communion with King Jehoshaphat. And remember how the Syrians then had come against them at Ramoth Gilead, and they had been defeated because of the mistake. And then to compound this mistake, we read that Jehoshaphat took Ahab and Jezebel's daughter Athaliah as a wife for his firstborn son Jehoram, so that the sin of Israel then was, as it were, transferred into Judah. And Athaliah and Jehoram's son was Ahaziah. And Ahaziah became the sixth king of Judah, and he ruled for 1 year. You remember how that Elisha the prophet came in Israel, and he prophesied, and he set Jehu to be the king of Israel. And he said that God would destroy the house of Ahab unto the fourth generation. And as a result of that, we read that Jehu went to battle, and Ahaziah and the king of Israel got together, and there was a battle, and both Ahaziah and Joram, the king of Judah, were slain, or Joram, the king of Israel, they were both slain in the battle, as well as Jezebel, that was put to death as a result of the battle. So after only 1 year, Ahaziah, the descendant of Ahab, was slain. Now, you would have thought then that his son, one of his sons, would have taken the throne. But wicked Athaliah, this woman who was the daughter of Ahab and Jezebel, thought that she would take the throne. And in order to do that, her wickedness was that great that she had her grandchildren slain. And she conspired to have every one of them put to death in a great massacre that was to take place. Now, that would have ended the line of David. And if that had taken place, that would have ended the line that would have led to the Messiah. But God had his people in the right place, and there was a princess by the name of Jochebed, and she saved one of the grandchildren of the Athaliah and Ahaziah, and he was rescued. And we think of how the rule and the reign of David then, and the line of David, was saved. Now, the little baby was the man that we have been reading about tonight. His name was Joash. And Joash was hidden in the temple, and he was brought up by Jehoiada the priest. And he was brought up in the godly things. He was brought up in the precincts of the temple. He would have been taught the law of God. And then at 7 years of age, we read that Jehoiada proclaimed him to be king. And this new king, 7 years of old of age, was crowned as the new king of Judah. And we think of how he was greeted with great acclaim. The rule of Athaliah, the wicked Athaliah, was not one that was celebrated in any way. So once again, a king in the line of David was on the throne of David. And we think of how the people were looking forward to the new reign. And they were looking forward to new things that were going to be done. And when you look at the life of Joash, the summary of his life is that he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. But you'll notice what it says, that he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest. And we find that while he starts off well, and while he starts off in a way that would have been commendable to the Lord, that the end of his life is very different. And he ends up at the end of an old year, and he ends up in battle and slain by his own people that conspire against him after the battle. And he's buried in the city of David, but he's not buried in the sepulchres of the kings. So he dies in ignominy. And as we come to the end of an old year, I think that the lesson that we see is very clear. And it is that it's not how you start that counts, it's how you finish. And here's a man who starts off so well, a man who seems to profess the things of God, a man who seems to adhere to the things of God, but as time goes on, and when the influence that was directing him in a godly way is taken away, the real Joash comes out. And dear friend, I want you to see that it is not how you start that counts, it's how you finish. Is there reality in your heart? Are you really saved by the grace of God? Because if you do, the Bible says that he that endureth to the end shall be saved. And we need to strive to enter in at the straight gate, and we need to enter in today, and we need to make sure that there is that reality in our hearts and in our lives. We need to persevere in the faith. So it is not how you start that counts, it's how you finish. As your life has gone on, has there been that godliness and that mark of godliness about it? There is a warning here in the life of this man Joash, and I think that the Holy Spirit of God would want us to learn the lessons of the life of this man. So we want to look for a few minutes at the end of the year at this man Joash and what happened to him in his life. Now, the first thing that I want you to see then is the start that he made. We have said that this reign would have started off with such great hopes and with such great expectation. Here he was, just 7 years of age, with the responsibility of being on the throne. And he renewed the dedication of the people to God.
Look at verses 1 and 2 of the portion of scripture that we read. It says, Joash was 7 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Abiah of Beersheba. And Joash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest. Now, you can notice some things about Joash here. Notice his desire. Look at verse 4. And it came to pass after this that Joash was minded to repair the house of the Lord. So here's a young man now, 7 years of age. He had been brought up in the things of God. He had been brought up to know the things of God. He had dwelled in the temple. The temple really had been his home. And now, as he ascends the throne, one of the first things that he wants to do is to repair the house of the Lord. He wanted the temple, the place in which God was to be worshipped, the place where the sacrifices were made. He wanted that to be reinstated. You know how it tells us here in verse 7, how that Athaliah, the wicked queen before him, had broken the house of God, and how that they'd broken all the dedicated things of the house of God, and then bestowed them upon Balaam. So the house of God was in a sorry state. It had been wrecked, it had been pillaged by this wicked woman, and the kings that had gone before had been no great thing as far as their worship of God was concerned. So for long years, the temple of God had lain in ruins. But here's a young man, and he wants to place the temple and the worship of God right back in the proper place. He had a lineage that wasn't good. His father, his mother, his grandparents had been anything but godly. But now, here he is. He had been taught in the things of God, brought up in the temple, and he wanted to do that which was right. And maybe you can think back on your privileges as a young person, as a child. You can think of having been brought up in the Sunday school, brought up in the children's meetings. Some of you had the privilege of being brought up with Christian parents, and you had been taught the ways of God. You were taught to go along to church and to go to gospel missions and go to the place where God's word was preached. And my, what a privilege that is. And that's a wonderful privilege, and you should not take that for granted. You should be glad that you have had a privilege like that, that you've been brought up to worship the God of heaven and earth. But I want you to notice that this young man not only had heard about the things of God, but he wants to have practical. He wants to be practical in his life. He wants to put feet to his prayers, as it were, and his desires. So you'll notice here how that he wants to advance the work of God. He sets up the means by which the collections are going to be taken. He places a chest. In fact, you'll notice here that he is the one who wants to advance the work. It's not Jehoiada the priest. It is Joash who is the instigator. He is the initiator of all of this. And you'll notice how, if you read the chapter, how that there was a time when he chides Jehoiada because Jehoiada is not working fast enough. He is not gathering in the money and making sure that the temple is advanced. So here's a young man with enthusiasm. And sometimes you have the enthusiasm of youth. And in fact, he's so enthusiastic about the things of God that, as we say, he chides Jehoiada. He feels that the old person, the old man, he's on a go slow. He's not as zealous as he ought to be. And of course, sometimes you get that in youth. As young people, we looked at the older people and we thought that we could do it better, and certainly we had more energy and we had more zeal to maybe do the things and go out and advance the work of God. So you'll see here is a young man, and he has enthusiasm, and he wants to put his enthusiasm in the right direction. And what a wonderful thing it is to have that
enthusiasm. He says to Jehoiada, "See that ye hasten the matter." There is the zeal of youth. And maybe I'm speaking to someone and you have that enthusiasm focused on the things of God. What better focus could there be than focusing on the things of God? And maybe you young, older folks, think back to your younger day and you have that enthusiasm, and it would be good to rekindle that enthusiasm in our hearts for the things of God, for the preaching of the word, for the church, for the community. We need that zeal. We think of the Lord, how it was said of him that the zeal of his house had eaten him up. And we need to have zeal for the things of God. Sometimes as older folks, we begin to lose the zeal and begin to lose our first love, and we need to have that first love back. But here's this young man, and it seems so good for him. We see the start that he made, but look also the shaping he received, because it says in 2 Chronicles 24 and verse 2, it says, "Joash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest." So Jehoiada the priest obviously has an influence on this young man. Jehoiada is the man that really brings him up. He is the one who molds him and shapes him, and obviously has a really big influence on the life of young Joash. Joash had much to overcome, as we said. We read about his forebears. We read about Ahaziah, his father. It says in 2 Kings 8 and 27, "And he walked in the way of the house of Ahab, and did evil in the sight of the Lord, as did the house of Ahab, for he was the son-in-law of the house of Ahab." So his father was hardly an example to follow. And we think of the vileness of his posterity. So he had a lot to overcome. But we think of the wonderful influence that Jehoiada had upon him. And you maybe can think of those that have an influence upon you. Maybe your mother, your father. Maybe it is someone that you know, some Sunday school teacher or somebody that has had a big influence upon you, and hopefully it has been an influence for the things of God. And when you see the success that Jehoiada had with the young man, it says that he did right when Jehoiada was there. It says Joash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest. And he had been taught, as we say, in the things of God. He had been taught in the law of God. Now he's only 7 years of age, so maybe he's not into the depths of the law of God, but he had definitely been taught about the temple and about the worship of God, about the sacrifices, about the shedding of blood. And no doubt he was told that without shedding of blood there is no remission. He maybe understood something of the way that the sacrifices pointed forward to the Messiah. Anyway, he knew that he needed the sacrifice, the blood needed to be shed for his sins to be forgiven. And though he was young, obviously he'd been taught the importance of the temple, because this is really one of the first things he enters in to do when he becomes king. So Jehoiada has had success. The things of God, the word of God, has been imbued upon the young mind. He has been impressed by the word of God. The truth of God is upon his heart. And what a wonderful thing it is to be brought up to learn the word of God and to have the important things stamped upon our hearts. We see the success that Jehoiada had. But look at also the shrewdness that Jehoiada demonstrated in bringing up the young man. Because if you look at 2 Chronicles chapter 23 and look at verse 16, it says there, "And Jehoiada made a covenant between him and between all the people and between the king, that they should be the Lord's people."
So you notice that Jehoiada here is fostering something in the community. He's not waiting for public opinion to turn, but he's entering into leadership here. He's leading the community. He's leading the people into revival to make this covenant with God that they were going to be God's people. So you'll see the shrewdness of this man. He knows that they have been in a reign where God's word has been despised and the worship of God has been despised. So he enters into leadership here. Of course, we can think of those that have been leaders in the work of God and led the community. Think of Joshua in his day. He said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Now, there was freedom there. There was a choice there. But Joshua said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And he was giving leadership there to the people to follow. You think of the days of Josiah. And we read how that he renovated the temple in his day. And they found the book of the law. And when they found the book of the law and brought it out and read, we read that Josiah wept because of the sins of the people that were exposed by the word of God, and then began to lead his people in a mighty revival. We need leadership like that in these days. And maybe you too then, as we've been thinking, you have somebody that has led you in the right direction, led you to worship God, led you to value the things of God, and that has been demonstrated in your life. So we see the success that Jehoiada had and the shrewdness that Jehoiada demonstrated. But look also that the shortcoming that Jehoiada's death revealed, because it says that Joash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest. So there came a day when Jehoiada died. And the young man has respect for Jehoiada. He doesn't want to hurt Jehoiada. He wants to do what will please Jehoiada. But then it says in verse 15, "But Jehoiada waxed old and was full of days when he died. 130 years old was he when he died. And they buried him in the city of David among the kings, because he had done good in Israel, both toward God and toward his house." So there came a day when Joash is left alone. There comes a day when Joash misses the one that he'd relied upon. The one who had given him his direction, given him his help, and given him his example along the way of life. There came a day when Jehoiada was gone. And when Jehoiada was gone, we read that the real Joash began to expose himself. I want you to see that according to verse 15, Jehoiada or Joash only stood for God as long as Jehoiada was there to watch him. You know, I fear that there are many people who come along to church and they come and they worship God, and they do it out of a sense of respect for their loved ones, for their father, for their mother, for their grandparents, or for somebody else that they know. But you know, they would not hurt their parents or whatever. But when they're among their friends, and maybe there is that, when you're among your friends, there's a difference that is there. It's a different kind of life. There's a difference. Perhaps you can look like a Christian. You can appear like a Christian. You read your Bible maybe at times. But maybe in the heart there is something different. And that's what happens here with Joash. And look at the substance he undertakes. Because we're told in verses 17 and 18. It says here, about after the death of Jehoiada, it says in verse 17, "After the death of Jehoiada came the princes of Judah and made obeisance to the king.
Then the king hearkened unto them, and they left the house of the Lord God of their fathers, and served groves and idols, and wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem for this their trespass. And I want you to see the influence that Joash allows. He listens to these princes of Judah. These princes of Judah come and they say, well, this religion of Jehoiada's gone now. You don't have to do what Jehoiada wanted you to do. You don't need that old straight-laced religion. You need to modernize a little bit. We need to be like the people round about us. The people round about us are serving the groves. They're serving other gods. We need to let that in. We need to be up to date. We need to be like the people round about us. And we need to be like the surrounding nations. And if we're going to get on with them, and if we're going to be friends with them, we need to have affinity with them. And all the arguments are made. It's the same arguments that are being made in this day and generation. It's the same kind of arguments. We need to be up to date. We need to be like the nations round about. We need to be like all the other people. And the call is to compromise with the word. And here were these men, and they came in, and they began to influence young Joash. They were people of his own age. They were people who were of the same kind of experience as he had. They were princes of Judah. But now they are beginning to lead the young man astray. And again, perhaps I'm speaking to someone and you know the bad influence of the friends and loved ones that you have around you. And you think, I think of the story of a farmer one day who grabbed a shotgun and he wanted to shoot some crows that were being a nuisance. But the young fella, the young man that was with him, the son, he had a parrot, a very well loved parrot. And the farmer, he was shooting the crows, and he discovered that he had shot the parrot along with some of the crows. And they went over to the injured bird that was lying, and the children said to their dad, they said, "What happened?" Well, the farmer said, "Bad company." And you know, the scripture often warns us about bad company. Regardless of our age, we can get into bad company. We can be led astray. And it's not just the bad company that we meet physically, but it's the bad company of the messages that come to us from internet, from media, from social media, and all around. There is the bad company, the bad advice that often comes. And we need to beware of the bad advice that would cause us to serve other gods and take us in a wrong direction. And how often it is that people have been brought down by bad company. But you'll see that the real Joash begins to come out, because you'll see as it progresses here that we not only see the influence he allows, but look at the iniquity he demonstrates. Because now, having got on this road of going away from God, it goes from bad to worse. Notice what happened. You'll notice that God sends the prophet Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada, in verse 20 there, and he comes to warn Joash about the way that he's going. Look at verse 20. It says, "And the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada the priest, which stood above the people, and said unto them, Thus saith God, why transgress ye the commandments of the Lord, that ye cannot prosper? Because ye have forsaken the Lord, he hath also forsaken you." And there is the message that is clear. They had forsaken God, God had forsaken them. Why had they forsaken God? Because this man obviously never really, truly trusted God in the first place.
But look at what happens now. Now they have heard the warning of the prophet. But look at verse 21. And they conspired against him and stoned him with stones. Now the they, obviously, is the princes of Judah, but Joash is among them, as you'll see in a wee minute. But it says, and they conspired against him and stoned him. This is the prophet. Stoned him with stones at the commandment of the king in the court of the house of the Lord. So it's at the commandment of the king. They take the prophet of God, the very son of Jehoiada, the man that had brought this young fellow up, the man who had been such an influence on his life, and now he's involved in stoning his son to death. Now, you know the old adage that sin will take you further than you want to go, and sin will cost you far more than you want to pay. Here is a man, obviously Joash had loved Jehoiada. He had a great respect for Jehoiada. He had followed after what Jehoiada wanted him to do all the days that Jehoiada had been there. But now he has listened to the bad influence of the princes of Judah. And now it brings him to the place where he is ordering that Jehoiada's son, the prophet of God, bringing the message of God, should be stoned to death. And sin will take you further than you want to go. You know that is true. How many people have gone down the road of sin and gone down the road of iniquity, and they thought that they could handle things, and they thought that they could go as far as they wanted to go, and then they found that they were down a road of wickedness and a road of sin that they never ever thought that they would go. And here's what happens. Sin sucks you in. Sin brings you down an awful road. And that's what's happening to Joab. Here he is, this young man that starts out trying to renovate the house of God. And now he is ordering the stoning to death of the prophet of God. But one more thing I want you to see, and that's the sorrow he experienced. Because when you depart from God, and when you begin to get on the road of sin and iniquity and evil, sorrow is always the consequence. And look at the defeat he experienced. Look at verses 23 and 24. It says, and it came to pass at the end of the year, the host of Syria came up against them, and they came to Judah and Jerusalem and destroyed all the princes of the people from among the people, and sent all the spoil of them unto the king of Damascus. For the army of the Syrians came with a small company of men, and the Lord delivered a great host into their hand, because they had forsaken the Lord God of their fathers. So they executed judgment against Joash. So the Syrians came, and they wrought devastation in the kingdom. And instead of bringing friendship to the surrounding nations, and probably that was the argument, this is why the princes of Judah said, "Oh, Joash, you need to serve the groves and idols. You need to be like the other nations so that you can have affinity with them, and so that there will be some kind of common thought and common desires among you, so that you'll have that affinity with them." But now what does that lead to? It leads to war. Instead of bringing friendship, it brings war. And it brings defeat. And my, here he is, and instead of happiness, it brings him into absolute misery. And you know that's the way very often the world despises those that turn away from God and will count them as fools. But what a great setback this defeat was, the defeat he experienced. But not only that, but look at the disease he experienced. Look at verse 25. And when they departed from him, for they left him in great diseases. Now the word translated diseases here is a word that probably refers to wounds. It's a word that can encompass wounds, maybe the wounds of battle. It's a word that only occurs here in the Bible, so we don't have that much to go on, but that's probably the comment, the thought. But it may be just mean that some incapacity of some kind, he's rendered incapable anyway. There's something that left him unable to function. So not only is there the ignominy of defeat, but his very health and strength are taken from him. And how many times that's the result of sin. Not only is there that defeat that comes into the life and sorrow, but my, even the health is taken away when you're in a road of iniquity and sin. There is defeat, there is disease, and then there is duplicity, because there's a conspiracy or a conspiracy against him. Look at verse 26. It says his own servants conspired against him for the blood of the sons of Jehoiada the priest, and slew him on his bed, and he died, and they buried him in the city of David, but they buried him not in the sepulchres of the kings. So the people that he's relying on here, the very princes and the very people that he was trusting and looking to, what do? They stab him in the back. They are fair weather friends. They are not with him when the defeat comes. And you know that's so striking, and how often it is that that takes place. You know, one of the things about Joash is that if you look in the Gospel of Matthew at the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ, he is one of three kings that is left out of the genealogy. Now that doesn't make it inaccurate, because it is done deliberately. Now the three kings that are left out are Ahaziah, Joash, and Amaziah. But you'll find that when Ahab sinned against God, you'll find that the prophet Elisha came and spoke to him, and he said that for four generations the line of Ahab was going to be cut off, and that would include those three kings. So here he is, and as it were, he's blotted out of the record. He is blotted out of the line of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what an awful thing to have your name blotted out of the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, of course, his name was never there in the first place, but we think of how his name is not there. It does not appear. And dear friend, for you to come to that end of your life and find that your name is not there, that the Lord would say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." As we say, the Bible says, "He that endureth to the end shall be saved." We need to persevere. It's not how we start, but how we finish. Are we going to heaven? Now, we're not trusting in ourselves or anything of ourselves. We trust in the grace and mercy of God. But those that are saved and washed in the precious blood will walk with him and follow him. The thing about Joash is that obviously there was no reality in his heart. He did that which was right, but only when Jehoiada the priest was directing him. And how many young people there are that follow the Lord and go to church and the things of God. And maybe I'm speaking to somebody on the internet this evening. You follow the Lord, you do the things, you go to church and so on, but it's only to please your father, your mother, or somebody that you know. But there's no reality. Dear friend, if that's the case, you need to repent, you need to turn to God, and you need to call upon him. You'll see that retribution came to this man at the end of a year. And maybe this is the warning to you.
at the end of a year. And you need to get right with God and call upon him for his mercy. If you don't know him tonight, call upon God and seek him while he is to be found. May you come and trust him for his name's sake tonight. Let's just bow, please, in a word of prayer. Our loving God and our gracious Father in heaven, we do thank thee for the precious word of God again tonight. We thank thee for the warning of this man, Joash. And we pray that thou wouldst come in mighty power, and that thou wouldst speak through thy word to every heart. And we pray that thy word might have free course and be glorified. Part us in thy fear, and with thy blessing now take us to our homes in safety. Watch over us and be with us. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we ask these things. Amen.